I'm very sorry to tell you that Mr. Richard Field has been very ill during the week. He's been in hospital, and so he's unable to be with us today. He is now home again and hopes to be able to resume his ministry before too long. Our thoughts and prayers are with him and with his dear wife. But now may the Lord remember us today as we have reading services. He is able to bless that which was preached aforetime. May he be pleased to do so. I should say Mr. Richard Field also asks that I pass on his love to everyone at Swavesey. Let us commence, as the Lord may help us, with hymn 471. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. Hymn 471. May the Lord help us as I read from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him, and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, shall in no wise enter therein. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honour thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, Who then can be saved? And he said, The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Amen. We'll leave the reading there. May the Lord bless his holy word to us and help Benji to pray.
O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt come and truly indite true prayer in our hearts. And O Lord, may that be that prayer we've just read. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. O Lord, how we need thee to come and look down in mercy upon us this day and be our helper. O Lord, we do come desiring to truly worship thee, even as that one in thy word, Lord, help me. And she worshipped him. O Lord, our eyes are then up unto thee, that thou wilt come this day and be with us, a company of poor unworthy sinners. Lord, grant us each that humble heart to truly confess our sins before thee, and to seek thee, to seek that mercy, to seek that forgiveness, to know that thou canst cleanse us in thy blood. Oh, we do enable us then to plead that blood which does for sin atone. O Lord, thou alone canst do these things for us, and we pray then that thou wilt have pity upon us and come this day and grant that thy word might be made powerful and effectual in our hearts to draw us unto thee. Oh, do enable us then to lift up our eyes unto thee and to seek thy presence, to seek that thou wilt come and bless our souls. Poor, wretched creatures that we are, we need thee to do it all for us. Oh, do then remember each one, O Lord, and remember each desire, request that has been put up unto thee, even for this service. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt come and send those answers of peace, that thou wilt remember each cry put up to thee, and Lord, that thou wilt send none empty away. Oh, we do pray then that thou wilt cause thy word to truly be effectual, that it might truly go forth and bring forth good to never die in souls, honour and glory to thy name. Oh, do remember us then in mercy here this day. Oh, Lord, we see thy judgments in for taking away thy servant, stopping him from coming, Lord, twice this week. Oh, do grant us then that true repentance, that we might fall before thee and confess our sins and seek thy forgiveness. Oh, Lord, thou knowest these things and how we need thee to come and open our eyes. Oh, Lord, one in thy word said, Is there not a cause? Oh, Lord, do enable us then each to come to that point, to examine ourselves and to look unto thee. Oh, do reveal these things to us and leave us not in that hard state, that hard heart, with that rebellion in us. Oh, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt soften our hearts, that thou wilt come and give us that heart of flesh, and that we might fall before thee in submission to thy will, and seek thy mercy still. O Lord, that thou wilt still bring thy servants to us, that thou wilt give them that message, and that thou wilt enable them to truly bring it forth to thy honour and glory. And oh, may there be that fruit found. Lord, that there may be sinners that can come and speak of what thou hast done, that thy name might be honoured and glorified, that thou wilt come and remove the hindrances and enable one another to praise thy name. Oh, leave us not in that barren state, that cold, hard, dead, far-off condition. Lord, do remember us then, and come and have mercy upon us still. Remember us for good. We look up unto thee. Grant us that faith to trust thy word. For, O Lord, we have read that thy, my God, shall supply all thy need. Lord, we pray that thou wilt supply that need to us now, that thou wilt supply the need of each one here. O Lord, that great need of their never dying souls as we fast hasten to the eternity. Lord, we have sung, prepare my soul. And oh, we do pray that thou wilt prepare each one, that they might be found looking unto Jesus. For there is but one thing needful, and we do pray that thou wilt come and make that one needful to each soul, and that thou wilt bring them to find thee. Oh, to know thee, to know that thou canst do all things, that thou art their Saviour and their Redeemer. O Lord, do then work in hearts this day, we pray. Bring forth fruit, bring forth honour and glory to thy name, that we might be enabled to truly praise thee here in thy house for what thou hast done. O Lord, that we might gather round and hear one and another speak of thy mercy, of thy saving grace. O Lord, of what thou hast done for each one. Do have mercy then on us, and remember us for good. We pray then for thy servant that we had expected. O Lord, thou hast brought him into affliction, and we pray that thou wilt grant those healing mercies, that thou wilt sanctify these things to his good, that thou wilt sanctify them to our good. O Lord, thou alone canst do these things. We do pray then that thou wilt have mercy upon us, and remember him where he is even this day, and grant him a true blessing in his own soul. Oh, how we need thee to come and bless us indeed. Oh, Lord, and enlarge our coasts. It is unto thee we look. Lord, we can do nothing of ourselves. Have mercy upon us. And, Lord, we pray for those in affliction here, even amongst us. And, Lord, that thou wilt grant those healing mercies, and that thou wilt use these things to their eternal good. O Lord, thou knowest the need, and thou alone canst do it. We do pray then that thou wilt have mercy still. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt remember this country of ours. O Lord, once more we commit us into thy care. O Lord, that thou wilt turn us again if it can be thy will. O that thou wilt work mightily in our coasts even this day. Lord, that thou wilt come and curb the powers of Satan, and that thou wilt put thy word in the hearts of one and another, in our government, in our rulers, in our queen. O Lord, we do pray for these things that seem to us almost impossibilities. Well, to us are impossibilities, but as we have read, nothing is impossible with thee. Lord, we do pray then that thou wilt work and remember us here once more. O Lord, we do pray then that thou wilt help us now through this day. Lord, help our brother in reading, and Lord, we pray that thou wilt use that word spoken in time past to the good of never dying souls. Do then go before us and be our helper still. Remember us now in mercy for thy great name's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 89. When Adam by transgression fell, and conscious fled his Maker's face, linked in clandestine league with hell, he ruined all his future race. The seeds of evil once brought in increased, and filled the world with sin. Hymn 89.
Thank you.
I'll try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Ernest Rowe. And you will find the words of the text in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18, and the 13th verse. Luke chapter 18, verse 13. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The words are part of a parable declared by the Lord Jesus for a certain end. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. The certain people are the Pharisees of his day, and of all the days until the end of time. The Pharisees were very strict in their observances of the traditions of the fathers, as paying tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and omitting the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Thus they were like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Then our Lord denounces such characters in the most solemn language of all his ministry. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. How ignorant this person is, ignorant of the holiness of that God he addressed, and ignorant of that holy law of his, which discerns and condemns the most secret departure from God's holy standard of conduct. This person has no felt knowledge of sin at all. He is pure in his own eyes, has no sense of need, thinks he has all that God requires. And so there is no confession and no petition in his prayer. He can even exalt himself before God in the attitude of prayer. Hence, as is bound to be the case with such persons, he despised others. He is not as other men are, utterly ignorant of the fact that he is just as others before God as the result of the Adam fall, and just as others in heart sins. They even think they do more than God requires. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. The law did not require so much as that. Even the true child of God needs much grace to keep the spirit of the Pharisee in check, for such are not yet quite clear of exulting in some self-righteousness or other bit of religious work, or some sweet and heavenly frame of mind granted. The heart uplifts with God's own gifts. These two men, the Pharisee and the publican, went up into the temple to pray. Surely not by some previous arrangement would two such opposites go together? For these two are as different from the other as darkness is from light. There is no fellowship between these two kinds. The Pharisee will despise, treat as contemptible the publican, and the publican is too heavily laden with his own felt unrighteousness to be a fit companion for the Pharisee. If we are real publicans, we are indebted to God's sovereign grace, for that alone can ever bring one to sit down with the sinner and endorse his petition. The work of the Holy Spirit is seen in making us to differ from the self-righteous character. The Holy Spirit is God. Ananias lied to the Holy Ghost, but Peter adds, "Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." Nothing that men can do, by all the means they use, will ever bring one soul to cry the prayer of the publican. May we honour the Holy Ghost far more than we do in all speaking upon the Word of God. Who but the Holy Spirit can make a person stand afar off? Here is one who knows in his very soul that he is very far gone from God. So far gone from all that honours God, that he is sure his iniquities, like the wind, have taken him away. His very heart cries Godward, "I am as an unclean thing, and all my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And my iniquities, like the wind, have taken me away." What, I repeat, will make any soul feel this? Will running to endless religious services do it? Will the whole round of religious sociality do it? We are not condemning attendance at spiritual services, far otherwise, for we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It is to be feared that some can do all these outward things most regularly, who yet have never bitterly felt and confessed that Holy Scripture which we have just named from Isaiah. The Apostle Paul writes the most sacred truths of any man in Ephesians chapter 2. But he adds, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." It was Almighty God who had quickened them into life. As sure as we are under divine teaching in the soul, we also will feel so far off from God that we wonder, yes, wonder, if even he can bring us nigh. It is the heart sins that depress the most. Outward wrong acts are but the streams from the evil source within. Where to another you may look very respectable, and indeed very righteous, you will lie low before God's searching gaze and cry, "Unclean." And if one stroke from God will not do this, he will use more strokes until we do stand just where this man stood, far off from light, love, faith, hope, ready to sink into despair. Not that all this may be experienced in the early days of your spiritual life, but by degrees you will come to this and honour the Holy Spirit for beginning to bring you to fellowship with the man of the text. Who but the Holy Spirit makes such ashamed? So far off as would not lift up his eyes to heaven. Guilt, as felt before God, will make us ashamed. The disgrace of it, to be such a sinner before the Most Holy One. Woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Ezra said what you will frequently have to say, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespasses grown up into the heavens. No one that understands what Ezra meant can be bold and haughty before God in prayer. With guilt beset, and deep in debt, for pardon, Lord, I pray. O, let thy love sufficient prove to take my sins away. Why does this man smite upon his breast? He has grief and sorrow beyond words. The inward teaching of the holy law of God can make one sorry for sins, but it is more of the sorrow of the world that worketh death. The gospel, under the sacred power of the Holy Spirit, makes one sorry after a godly manner, a sorrow to repentance. It is a tremendous favour to sorrow after a godly sort. The good Spirit shows to the sinner Jesus and him as crucified. For he shall glorify Christ in the very heart of such a man as is in our text. And then, then, he shall look upon Christ whom he has pierced, and mourn. Like Peter, when Christ looked into his very heart, he went out and wept bitterly. It is bitterness indeed to see and feel your sins crucified, Jesus, but it is a bittersweet. Here is gospel repentance. And this wholesome doctrine seems very much left out in religious speaking and writing. But God has joined repentance and forgiveness of sins together, and he that has the repentance shall surely enjoy the forgiveness. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Smiting his breast. Yes, that's it. And constantly we must do it. For a wicked heart is no small part of my distress and shame. Let sovereign grace its crimes efface through Jesus' blessed name. Note his confession. And who but God the Spirit can make a man heartily admit as much?
God be merciful to me, a sinner. Here is no half-hearted affair. He knows, he feels he is a sinner. Some say he said the sinner, as if there were not another like him in all the world. Well, some may speak more than they feel, and far more than they really mean on their sinnership. But not he that is under Holy Ghost teaching. Such may not make a parade of his sins, and he is wise. But if only you could hear him in secret. Sin is the transgression of the law, and that is a most solemn matter. For no man can break that law and not be held guilty before the lawgiver. If hell has been built by sin, if its fire that is never quenched has been lighted by sin, how can any be light-hearted when any moment one may die? The greatest saints ever have been they who have confessed most their sense of sin. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head. As an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. Here is confession indeed. And the psalmist was troubled, bowed down greatly, went mourning all the day long, for his loins were filled with a loathsome disease, and there was no soundness in his flesh. But he adds, Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. This is the safest place a child of God can be in, low at his feet, confessing his sins. The more he is here, the more it displays the power of the Holy Ghost in him. This cures him of wandering about, wasting precious time in things that profit not. He has so much indoors that he has neither time nor inclination to gad about. And again, the Blessed Spirit can alone make us like this. Far, far better here to be smiting the breast and confessing our sins than to live worldly-minded and hereafter know the awfulness of weeping and gnashing of teeth, and that for eternity. And once more, who but the Divine Spirit could make this man believe in God? For here he cries, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But oh, amazed I see the hand that stopped me in my wild career. A miracle of grace I stand. The Lord has taught my heart to fear. Yes, to fear his name. To believe there is a God is no easy matter. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. It is against God, not merely against my neighbour, that sin is aimed. God only can forgive my sins. To believe in him as one with whom is forgiveness, and to experience, to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him, is just what this sort of person as the publican seeks. So he is seeking in the right direction, exactly so, for God the Spirit is the teacher of such. The work of God the Son is in the text also. God be merciful, propitious, that is speaking peace, to me a sinner. He needs mercy, but mercy must come through blood. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. The mercy seat was to be placed above, upon the ark. The law of God, the testimony, was in the ark. Blood was to be sprinkled upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And so the just and holy God could say to the sinner with honour unto himself, and there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. The great glory of the gospel of Christ is just this, that God hath set forth his Son to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Propitiation means appeasement, the act of making peace. God hath set forth his Son to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. The advocate with the Father is the propitiation for our sins. The blessed sacrifice for sins has eternally covered, blotted out, all sins of his chosen people. This is the demonstration of the love of God. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This great fact each spirit-taught publican sees something of, and this emboldens him to plead for mercy. He is sure there can be no forgiveness of his sins if God's justice against him as a lawbreaker is not honoured. Indeed, he would not wish that God should, even if he could, forgive his sins and dishonour his own law. Mercy, through the precious blood of Christ, is the first favour we seek. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. The sinner stands upon blood, and God speaks to him through blood at the mercy seat. Here alone can God speak a cheering word to the sorrowful sinner. Here alone can he glorify himself and glorify the sinner. No atoning blood, no mercy for us. Mercy, thus righteously granted us, is what we need and crave all the way through this world. Many, many times we feel the guilty sting of conscience. Backsliding stand before the soul, and as years flow by, instead of feeling to lose sin's power, we feel it stronger. To pray from the heart seems impossible, and nothing we can do can give the slightest hope for eternity. All the more do we feel the need of mercy. O Lord, I need not to repeat what I would humbly crave, for thou dost know before I ask the thing that I would have. Mercy, good Lord, mercy I ask. This is the total sum, for mercy, Lord, is all my suit. Oh, let thy mercy come. Mercy shines to the pilgrim now, but wait until he reaches the end of the life that now is, and as he leaves this vain world behind with all his own sins and sinful nature, and enters that holy, happy place which Jesus has gone to prepare for him, then he will see mercy in its brightest light. Justice has no loss sustain it. Truth remains in perfect light. Not an attribute is staining, all in one grand cause unite. Saved sinners must and shall in God delight. Thus by mercy, righteously given, the publican is made nigh. Now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Peace is given to such by the Lord himself, else they would never have it. In his sufferings there were the retributions of justice, and by these sufferings he demonstrated the enormity of our sins and iniquities. And upon the divine law there is written a signature of honour, which is legible to every gracious, intelligent beholder, and is lasting as eternity. In the cross of Jesus, every sin of the Church of the Living God has been equitably judged, condemned, and put away in the person of the surety and substitute. And the holy, just, and good law has been magnified and made honourable. May we each be found standing in the place of the publican, saying Amen to his cry for mercy. Let me come unto my Lord, self-condemned and abhorred. Take the sinner's safe retreat, lie and blush at Jesus' feet. The gracious act of God the Father is seen in this publican's case. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. The other went down as he came, ignorant of his need of mercy, full of pride and of a religion that was useless. To justify a sinner is God's act. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. This is the very opposite to condemnation. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Let those who oppose the doctrine of the vicarious death of Christ for sins remember that there, at the cross, God is just. Let burdened and repenting sinners come to the cross and find that God is the justifier of the ungodly. There must not be so much as the least cloud of a suspicion of his justice overshadowing the throne of his righteousness. Man has ever been trying to lessen the evil of sin. So the blood of Christ shed for sins is thought of as an abominable doctrine. But God himself on this very point has declared his righteousness in the remission of sins, so that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. They who go down to their house justified will never cease to glory in the fact that he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Blessed transfer! He took our sin. God makes us righteous in his dear Son's righteousness. Amazing grace! I tell you, his word is final on this matter. Here he first makes the sinner righteous through his own obedience and death, and then tells the sinner so, declares him righteous. I tell you, he told the man sick of the palsy, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee." He said of the woman in the city, which was a sinner, that her sins, which are many, are forgiven. He takes away the filthy garments, but more, he gives a change of raiment and declares, "I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee." Here we are glad to stand. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. True, a justified man is a believer in Jesus. But his believing does not justify him. His justification is owing solely to the obedience and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the object of his faith that is his justification, not the grace of faith. Believing in him. The believing is the evidence and the fruit of his justification. This is the law of faith, as opposed to the law of works. And this principle of justification holds good of all that are saved. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith, and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Blessed law of faith this, blessed results thus for a publican. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Which of the two men thus represented would you desire to be? If grace has been granted you, the answer is the publican. Never can you get low enough before your God. Never confess too much what you know and feel daily of your sin-wrecked heart and life. Never get far enough away from the element of the Pharisee still left in you, but you add, if only he would tell me, I justify you. He does tell you of the character justified, as in this parable and in other scriptures, and you hang upon such sacred writings and become growingly convinced that there you must hang until the last breath you draw in this world. Yet if he would but kindly speak to your heart in his word and send you home today justified from all your sins, what a day it would be. What a greater sinner than ever you would feel. What a smiting upon your breast then, with godly sorrow and a repentance never to be repented of. And what love to him who loved you and died for you. You would say then, he is still the friend of publicans and sinners. Matthew proved it. And so did Zacchaeus, chief among the publicans as he was. And so have I. One day the Lord will have a solemn word to say to the Pharisee type, when he will declare unto all such, verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. He can save even a Pharisee, but not as such. Paul was one such, but you know how he was stripped of all that dead formalism which he once thought was gain. But after this, he was counting all things loss and dung to know Jesus, and not having his own righteousness, which was of the law, but that which was through the faith of Christ, as against the law of works. Grace will make you sit willingly with the publicans and harlots. Gladly own with Paul, you are the chief, first of sinners, and so can throw no stones against anyone. When faith to Sinai looks, it fills the heart with dread and justifies the dreadful stroke that strikes the sinner dead. But when faith views the Lamb as my atoning priest, it magnifies his precious name and sets the heart at rest. This man goes down to his house justified, but he now wants to prove his justification before God by his works before men. He knows that faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. He wants to show thee my faith by my works. Now, by grace, a friend of God, he seeks to prove it by the infallible rule Jesus gives him in John 15. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. So he is careful to maintain good works. Sin is in him, and painfully he knows it, but he desires not to lie down in sin. As he sees his justification before God in Jesus, he begs he may be constrained to show forth his praise by lip and life. So this doctrine of justification by Jesus is a doctrine according to godliness. It is a good tree, and it brings forth good fruit. And how can any person escape the penalty due to his sin if he dies in his sins? He has no righteousness in which to appear before God. That God does punish for sin is clear. That he will not acquit the wicked is equally clear. The Lord open the eyes and hearts of any who are satisfied in their sins. Solemn case that. With all saved publicans and harlots, justice hides nor blushes when mercy forgives for Christ's sake. Mercy, with unconcealed publicity from the throne of righteousness, gives remission of sins to penitent souls. Jesus, conscious he has paid their debt, is not ashamed to receive the worshipful ascriptions of his ransomed ones. While the forgiven sinner, assured of the expiation of his crimes by the sufferings and sacrificial death of his great substitute, exults from a moral satisfaction in the justness of his pardon. So said one long since gone to rest, and the testimony is true. Let the sweet hope that thou art mine, my life and death attend, thy presence through my journey shine, and crown my journey's end. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £685, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Robert Field, who is also expected to preach on Tuesday evening. And Dr. Sadler is expected to preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday school and administer the Lord's Supper, postponed from this evening. Let us close with hymn 746. Jesus is our God and Saviour, guide and counsellor and friend, bearing all our misbehaviour, kind and loving to the end. Trust him, he will not deceive us, though we hardly of him deem. He will never, never leave us, nor will let us quite leave him. 746.
Thank you. sinners. O Lord, every weapon smells in front. O Lord, we do pray that thou undertake for us through the day. O Lord, it's us, without thy servant will come amongst us. We do pray for him where he is. Lord, do restore him again to health and strength. Remember him and his dear ones here. Lord, we pray that he may be enabled to come again in the future day to find him. Lord, as all of these engagements are made, if the Lord will. Lord, as we realise sometimes it is not holy. Oh Lord, we do pray that thou bless, Lord, the services. Oh, whether thou send another servant to whether it is to be something preached before, then, Lord, we pray thy blessing. And Lord, we do pray, Lord, that thou grant us submission to all one of you. And Lord, as thou sometimes prevent thy servants from traveling, Lord, thou hast sent the sun. Oh, we have seen the whiteness of the sun. Oh, we'll be reminded of those words, white of us. Lord, oh, we do pray that thou sanctify these things to us. Lord, bless us. Remember us now as we part and do gather with the children this afternoon. Lord, may something be done there. Grant me all needed help. Well, may there be those seeds. Oh, Lord, those bread cast upon the waters that may be found after many days. Lord, do bring us up again in the evening if I will. Lord, do bless that to be read, and their deacon in reading. Lord, may the services prove today to be thy Lord. Lord, we pray our best. Forgive now our every sin. Be with each one, Lord. Watch over us each.